Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I was trying to remember which one I started up with. Good evening. Welcome to Early Eerie House. Oldie Timey Radio, Fogs Bane, and good old Bob are certainly hip to the time change. Welcome, gentlemen. Or hi, as it were. Or ooga booga boo ooga. No, Dave, you know how to do it.
Ooga boo ooga boo boo ooga.
That's it. I'm the OK from Spook Show, who doesn't know how to say ooga boo boo ooga. Here along with...
It is I, coming to you from the Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
And we're here with...
And, I'm not sure, I just sent him a note and said, hey, buddy, we're on. But
well, he'll slide in under the door anytime now. We'll lower the moat for Gar.
Yes. Yep. Because you know, without him or even with him, we're a little trapped this weekend.
We are trapped. We're trapped into listening to some good radio tales, Dave.
Yeah, about being trapped. Trapped into radio about being trapped on radio. How's that?
Yep. Woo. And, you know, we primarily do horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. Well, being trapped is a bit of a horror. I, myself, Dave, am a bit of a claustrophobic.
I am, too. You know, and the thing is, I don't even have to be in a small room to be claustrophobic. If I'm in a room, Dale, that has no air movement, I get claustrophobic. I can be in a small room if it's got air moving, I'm fine.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. But what does that tell us?
But if there's no air moving in a room, like our bedroom is a nice sized room, but when it gets to, it's kind of stuffy and there's no air movement, I got to throw that fan on or I go nuts. Yeah.
Huh. Now, for me, it's extremely tight places and not being able to move, like, within a span of my arm length. I've tried going on those, like, hay rides, and you have to crawl through this little... maze on your hands and feet. Oh, no, I can't do that. Not especially not with people who I can't predict what they're going to do in front of me and behind me. No, that's I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I don't fear much in the world, but I will admit to losing my you know what over that situation.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Well, no, and nowadays I've kind of overcome the fear because I'm so big I can't fit in there anyway. So.
Oh, well, you know, and I couldn't get on my knees to crawl through there, so, you know.
Yeah, there's that, too. Being in shape to do that stuff is a whole other experience at our advanced ages, but not quite ready to say goodbye to the working world. well, that's neither here nor there. We've
like
got
that.
What? We've got great shows for you. Suspense.
We do.
Lights mm-hmm. Out Returns and a mm-hmm. show called Haunted. Now, is this is
yep,
the first time to the channel, is it?
I believe it is. This is a show that comes to us from the BBC, believe it or not.
Whereas
here in the U.S., we've kind of given up on radio dramas. They don't do that. You know, they come in groups, but they still have them in the U.K. Matter of fact...
Really?
In hospitals, they have radio channels. They're specifically made for hospitals, and one of the radio channels has drama on it.
I think that's awesome.
Actually, I even have a few of those programs. I got to, when I was doing the radio stage, I got in contact with this guy from the UK. We traded some programs. I have a few, so we may share some of those. And that's called Hosprig Radio for hospital programming, I think. Hosprig Radio. So I have I have a few of those in my collection, yeah.
I think that is extremely cool. I mean, you know, even for the sighted, okay, if you're sighted, you see your eyes, it's still good to exercise your brain. Turn off the darn idiot box and sit down and listen to one of these old tales and let your imagination picture the story, because it might just be better than any television or movie producer could make.
It might be, and in this particular case of the Hosprig Radio, Dale, when you're in a hospital, you can't do a whole heck of a lot. You're there for a reason. either going in or coming out of surgery or something like that. There's not a whole lot you could do, but, man, you could sit back and listen. And there's like five radio channels on the hospital programming, but one of them is a drama.
See, when I was locked up in the hospital, I couldn't find anything except the rubber walls. I mean, there was nothing.
Oh, well, you know when you get those long sleeves that wrap around you? I don't think they let you have a whole lot, Dale.
Yeah. No radio, no TV, but I heard a lot of voices. There were a lot of voices.
And a lot of people who thought they were Napoleon.
Yes. Half of them lived inside my head. Where shall we start this evening with our tales of trappedness?
I know you want to start with a new one? It's an interesting story.
Why not? Curiosity is running rampant. Which one?
That would be the Haunted.
Yes, and that happens to be the title. Which one?
Oh, that's right. Which one? Which one you want? I'm confused now.
Yeah, which one?
Here's the reason it's called Which One, but I'm not going to tell you why.
Dave, which one?
Yes. Which one? Haunted.
I know. Which one?
Yeah. Haunted. That's the one. Yeah.
All right. Abbott and Costello, we are not. Try as we might.
Well, we need more material than the one line. Yeah.
No. But this one, you say, comes from the WBBC, eh? Or from the BBC, rather.
From the BBC. From the BBC.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And
I was going to say there is an original broadcast date if you're interested.
I am very interested. Do tell.
It is from September 20th of 1980.
That's like recently.
Almost.
Turn out the lights.
Haunted. Tales of the Supernatural. Reginald Marsh stars in Which One by R. Chetwynd Hayes. Dramatized for radio by Patricia Mays.
Out of the basement, I suppose. Not the safest place in the building, is it? Some of those walls are pretty thick down there, Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, a lot of good that'd do if the whole bloody building collapsed on top of us, I must say.
Do you think the bombing will get worse, Mr. Hughes?
Oh, I think a lot of things will get worse before they get better, son. Come along, down we go. Namely, being cooped up for 8 hours with Major Smithers, Jackson and Conway. A motley crew we are, eh? Clambering about in dungarees and tin hats. Hoping to stop the second fire of London with a bucket of sand and a stirrup pump that wouldn't give you a decent wash.
It's better than nothing, I suppose.
What do you bet, Raymond, that Smithers says as I open the door, "Well, Hughes, certain the building is empty."
Well, Hughes, certain the building's empty.
Yes.
No one here but ourselves, eh, Raymond?
Yes, Mr. Smithers, the building is empty. Stirrup pumps are in position, sand buckets filled, and we're all fed, watered, and fully clad, and in our right minds. At least I am. For God's sake, don't be an old woman.
It is my job to make sure everything is as it should be. And Mr. Grayton, you signed the duty book.
What?
If you would be so kind as to tear yourself away from that novel you're reading, I asked if you'd signed the duty book.
Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't.
No.
Anyone got a pen?
You should have brought a fountain pen with you, together with a notebook.
You can get a nice thick one from Woolworths for a penny.
Oh, for God's sake, must we go through this palaver every night? Damn it, there are only six of us. We all know we're here. Question is, are we all there?
prancing around in tin hats playing with stirrup pumps.
May I remind you, Jackson, that it is 1940 and there's a war on?
Well, I'll tell you something. If nothing happens by 2 o'clock, I'm going home.
What? It is our duty night, Jackson, and here we all stay until daybreak. There's a full moon tonight, and that could well mean an air raid, a heavy one. If this place goes up in flames, it'll be our responsibility.
Rubbish. If incendiaries fall on the roof, they'll most likely burn themselves out. There's nothing we can do apart from sit here and wait for someone to dig us out. Always supposing we aren't flattened.
Oh. You forget that there's one who watches over us. So long as we put our trust in him, all will be well.
The perpetual optimist. Here's your intelligence, man. At this moment, people are dying violently all over the world, and he isn't doing a bloody thing about it. And we're flirting with death every time we go up on the roof during an air raid.
Look here.
I have formed a philosophy that I would advise you to follow.
Oh, cool.
So long as the war continues, look upon yourselves as already dead.
What?
Well, then every day that finds you still breathing is an unmerited bonus.
I think that's an unduly pessimistic viewpoint.
Oh, God, do you have to start, Conway? Why don't you keep quiet and let them get on with it, like me?
I hope I'm entitled to express my views as well as anyone here. Democracy is what this war's about.
Oh.
As I was saying, I think what Mr. Drayton says is unduly pessimistic.
A Christian has no fear of death. He knows it's only a doorway to paradise, a place of eternal bliss.
Just a moment. If this place is so good, what are you hanging round for? Are we to understand you're looking forward to dying?
That is a stupid question. Of course I want to live as long as possible. It would be a mortal sin to wish otherwise. What I intended to imply was simply that under the circumstances...
Here they come.
You won't be going home tonight, Jackson.
No.
All right, lads, you know what to do. Grab your gas masks and put your helmets on and then to your post. Young Raymond, you will man the telephone. Come on now, best foot forward, up on the roof.
No, don't panic. There could be anything up to 10 minutes between the siren sounding and the arrival of the first planes. Then the damn things have got to find us, which in all probability they never will. So calm down and stop prancing around like a fussy old hen.
Oh, look here, Jackson, I've had just about enough of you. You're a damn...
All naughty. What would the God Box meeting say?
You know, I wonder why you take the trouble to come here if this is the only attitude you can take.
That's a question I often ask myself. Probably because watching you getting hot and bothered is better than a tonic. Breaks the bloody monotony.
I do not get hot and bothered!
Oh, please, gentlemen. This continuous bickering is not conducive to peace of mind, which all of us badly need in these trying times. Now, might I suggest that if you can't address one another in a civilized manner... You declare a non-speaking truce.
But he started it. He always does. Everyone knows that.
Shall we get ready and take up our positions? Unless I am mistaken, enemy planes are already overhead.
Yes, you're right. Right, come on up the stairs, everyone.
Hold on a moment. Oh, no, you don't, Jackson. We haven't time to waste. Raymond?
Yeah, okay, I'll get them. Where are they?
On the shelf, by my bunk. Valerie, up, Raymond. We haven't got all night.
Can't see them.
That was close.
Now get in nearer.
Get down it. Is everyone all right?
My leg's trapped. Help me, someone.
All right, just a minute.
I thought we'd had it.
Come on, hurry, man.
Right. There you are.
Oh, thanks. Can you help me back down to the basement, please?
Well, we all made it then.
Christ, I thought my time had come.
God saved us. I said a prayer when I heard that one coming. And he must have heard me.
It's a pity he didn't turn the bloody thing round and send it back to where it came from.
Well, question is, where do we go from here?
You notice something?
What?
The light's still on.
Only just.
Yeah, but it is still on.
The bomb must have glanced off the outer wall. The hole is blocked by a fall from higher up. Sooner or later, the ARP boys will take us out.
Gentlemen, I think we must face facts. The raid is still going on. I think it must be an extremely heavy one. Now, it's quite possible that no rescue bid will be made until after daybreak. If not, later. Now, in the meantime, it may have escaped your notice that the ventilation system is no longer working. Air may be coming down to us through the ruins. Well, I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, don't worry, lad. We'll manage somehow. Having been spared from the blast, it's inconceivable that we should suffocate.
It might be inconceivable, but it's quite possible. Can't you stop that boy snivelling?
Come on.
Things are no worse for him than for the rest of us.
Oh, I can't agree with that. Situation is far worse for him. Most of us have got, 10 years left? The very best. He might be good for another 60.
Wow.
He has every right to mourn.
Oh, damn that for a tale. I intend to hang on to whatever time's left to me. I propose we start shifting some of that rubble outside and try to get through the side wall.
My very thought. And if we get properly organized, it might be possible to break through in time. What do you say, Mr. Drayton?
Well, certainly keep us occupied. We may be successful, but we'll have to move with extreme care, or the whole lot will be down on top of us.
Right, now let's get cracking. Come on, Raymond, stir yourself, lad. Now you take my box of matches and light all the hurricane lamps. We'll need them when we tunnel through all that rubble.
Yes, Mr. Right. Smith.
Now, Jackson, you have a shot at trying to raise someone on the telephone.
He's got some bloody...
Well, you never know. Electricity's still coming through, so the phone could still be working.
Oh, what the hell are you doing, boy? Can't you get those hurricane lamps lit?
I can't help it, Mr. Hughes. I'm shaking all over.
God help England if they ever get you in the army. You'd be Hitler's secret weapon.
Come on, Raymond. Come on. Lay down over here. Come on. Now, you're suffering for shock. Now, just wrap yourself up in these blankets and keep warm. There's enough of us here to do what can be done without your help.
Hello. This is the fire-watching post at Mansfield and Hedges. Listen, will you? We are trapped in the basement. Oh, for God's sake, let me get a word in. Hello?
What's the trouble? Have you got someone?
Well, I'm not talking to myself, am I? There's some girl or other who keeps on asking if there's anyone there. Seems I can hear her, but she can't hear me.
Give it to me. Hello? Hello, this is the firefighting post. Can you hear me?
What's happened?
Oh, I'm telling you, she can't hear us, but we can hear her.
The line went dead. Never mind, we'll try again later. Come on, let's get to work.
Hope of getting through this lot. The slightest movement will bring the ceiling and whatever's above it down on us.
Yeah, but we must try. We can't give up now.
Oh, please yourself. I haven't warned you.
We're not doing too badly. 6 steps are clear. There's a small cavity here in the left corner.
Hold the lamp steady, for God's sake. Drayton. Drayton, what are you doing? What's the matter?
There's a body here.
Body? Are you sure? I mean, how could that be?
Well, look. See for yourself.
But who the hell is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Someone standing by the wall outside when the bomb fell?
No, that's not possible. No, they would have been blown to bits. Got the full blast. No, he must have been on the inside, on the stairs at the time.
What the hell are you talking about, man? There was only us on the stairs. There couldn't have been anyone else.
Well, the body's still warm. Can't have been dead for more than an hour. Maybe he fell from above.
Well, the ceiling's still intact, so he can't have come from that direction. Look, I don't think there's much point in going on with this fruitless task. I suggest we leave off for a while and give the matter our full consideration. Raymond's asleep.
Lucky sod. I'm going to try the phone again. Maybe whatever was wrong with it has been put right.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, damn it. Not a dicky bird.
Guess the exchange has been hit. My God, they're going hammer and tongs out there tonight.
Perhaps we're in the best place after all. The air doesn't seem to have got any worse.
The light has. Doesn't seem as bright as it was, or am I imagining it?
There's one point I'd like to clear up. Smithers,
yeah?
Were you at the top of the stairs? Did you have the door open?
No, I had my hand on the handle, but the moment I heard the bomb, I let go and tumbled down the stairs with the rest of you.
Yes, that's what I thought. I suppose there's no way the door could have been blown open and then closed again before the wall collapsed.
Huh? No.
I was thinking that if someone had been sheltering in the upper passage, they might have been, blown in.
Well, it's most improbable. I mean, if the door was opened by the blast, debris would have kept it open. I mean, what are you getting at, Drayton?
I have arrived at the stage where the possible must be discarded and the improbable considered. Having confirmed that the door could not have been opened, and that there was no one on the stairs except ourselves, I am reluctantly, very reluctantly, drawn to only one conclusion.
What's that?
Gentlemen, I am going to ask you to consider the possibility that one of us is dead.
Okay.
One of us
one
is dead.
Is dead. I pick you. if I'm in that crowd, yeah. I don't mean you, Dave. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, this is a little tougher game than Red Rover, Red Rover, you know?
Yeah, I tell ya. Oh, my. Yeah, they're...
That just made it all that more interesting, didn't it?
Yep, they're trapped, and the terror mounts. We have no idea if Brother Gar is coming along or not, but we got some great radio for you, some fun and facts, and if we got time, some extra radio, too. Just beyond the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always, always plenty in the can there that we can rely upon with a jukebox and the good old wheel.
Yep. Never going to leave you high and dry when you're with us, gang. Every time we broadcast now, it's going to be 6:30 Eastern going forward. So appreciate you joining us in these early wee hours of the evening.
Yeah, I'm almost more awake now than I am usually.
Yeah, thanks for being trapped with us.
Yeah.
As we,
was there any time you've been literally, I'm not talking about claustrophobia, but you've been trapped in somewhere?
Physically trapped somewhere? I'm trying to recall. I nothing's coming to mind right now.
Yeah, same with here. I've been trapped out of my house with my keys in the house at times, but I've never been trapped in.
I was in a military jail for all about 5 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Ah, elevator foe for Fogsbane.
The police found me, like, asleep in my car, and and I told them I was, you know, military, so they took me back to the post, and they yelled and screamed at me, and the policeman backed out, went away, and then as soon as he was gone, they went, go to bed. That was the end of it.
There you go.
Just watch your behind going forward, young man, to which I took to heart. Never heard about it, either civilian or military again. We'll leave it at that. Mischievous youth that I was. So I was trapped for a moment. But you are trapped with us.
For a moment, yes.
And part two of Haunted. Which one?
Which one?
Having confirmed that
the door
could not have been opened and that there was no one on the stairs except ourselves, I am reluctantly, very reluctantly, drawn to only one conclusion.
What's that?
Gentlemen, I am going to ask you to consider the possibility that one of us is dead.
I always thought you were potty, Drayton, a bloody crank, out of touch with reality. But by God, you've gone too far this time.
All right, then offer me another, more sane explanation. You can't, eh? No, none of you can. Now, believe me, I would have kept this diagnosis to myself, but whoever it is that has left his earthly body back there on the stairs must be made to realize his position.
Yeah.
No, consider the possible fact that it is you lying out there. That's the horrible part of the entire business. Whoever it is doesn't know he's dead.
Look, just suppose you're right.
Yeah.
How can you explain why a dead man should walk around with a normal body when the one he's been born with is lying under several tons of brick?
All right. I will try to answer that as best I can. Now, it is quite possible that we all have two bodies. One of dense material that we use in this life, and the other that, for want of a better description, is comprised of higher vibrating atoms. When there is a violent death, shock can result in an unnatural phenomenon. The vibrations can be slowed down, and in rare cases, exactly match those of the defunct body.
Look, hold on a moment. Look, I can quite well see if that is the case, the poor bleeder doesn't know he's dead.
That's right.
But how long does he carry on like this?
Now, I'd say, if we can't settle this problem beforehand, devibrating won't start until someone from the outside enters this room.
What happens then?
The secondary body will become invisible, but will still be here, become what is commonly called a ghost, that can be seen by certain people when the conditions are favorable.
Rubbish!
Exactly.
All of you must be mad just to listen to him. When you're dead, finished. Do you fully understand what he's saying? One of us is a bloody ghost? I mean, honestly, think about it. Conway! All 16 stone of you. According to Mr. Drayton, you could be a spook. Or you, Smithers.
Far cry from your nightgowned harp playing angel wing paradise. Huh?
And what about young Raymond over here? He's snoring like a pig, but I suppose you haven't ruled him out.
As a matter of fact, at the moment, you are my number one suspect.
My what?
That might be why you could hear the girl on the telephone, but she couldn't hear you. This is a local affair. Figuratively speaking, you wouldn't exist outside this shelter.
But my pulse is beating 13 to the dozen. I'm solid, warm, with blood streaming through my veins. If I was to hit you, you'd feel my fist. How the hell can I be dead?
I have just explained that.
I'm not dead. I'm not! If there's any truth in all this, it must be one of you. Smithers! You are higher up the stairs than the rest of us. I bet it's you. Come to think of it, you've been acting strangely since we came back down here. Admit it, man. You must know.
No, it can't be me. I mean, I didn't lose consciousness for a single second. And I'm bruised all over. Wait a minute. Conway, you were full of energy, and so far as I can see, not a scratch on you.
It must be you.
No. If that's my body out there, then my legs must have shrunk. Mine are like tree trunks. Right, Mr. Drayton?
Gentlemen, this is getting us nowhere. Earlier, I advised you to regard yourselves as already dead. Now I am suggesting you do just that, literally. Let us all say, I am the one. Accept that you are a dead man still functioning among five live ones, then whoever it is will be free.
Free to do what?
Free to leave this place. Oh. Raymond's awake, I see. Well, now, how do you feel, lad?
Oh, I feel funny. All woozy. Any chance of a cup of tea?
You've got some hope.
Can't think why you should feel funny. You've been sleeping your head off while the rest of us have been sweating blood.
I had a strange dream. Somehow I'd got out of here and was walking down Canberra Street. Bombs were falling everywhere, but they didn't seem to bother me. It was as though I knew that they couldn't hurt me. Then I came to the ARP post and went down the steps into the basement. There were several men seated round a table, including Mr. Sinclair, who's in charge of our office. But when I tried to explain what had happened here, he ignored me.
Do you remember leaving the ARP post?
No. No, I suddenly wanted to be back here with all of you. Then I was just outside, looking at a great pile of rubble that completely hid the entrance. There was a man waiting.
Can you describe this man?
I think so. Although he wasn't like anyone I'd ever seen before. I had the impression he was dressed in black, a kind of long robe. But it was his face that demanded my full attention. So white. It almost shone. And the eyes were very large, very dark and bright with, well, pity, intelligence, knowledge, I don't know, perhaps all three. Then he said, only I don't think he said anything. I just heard the words in my head. Don't go back in there. You belong in another place.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Doubtless you have no reason to believe that the experience is anything more than a particularly vivid dream.
No, of course not. No. What else could it be?
Oh, what indeed. I must tell you that there is a body half buried under the ruins of the outer wall, and there is no way its presence can be explained unless it is one of us.
Is this some kind of joke?
Not of our making, man. This damned business is getting madder by the second.
We'll settle this matter once and for all. Do what should have been done in the first place. Dig the damn body out and try to find out who it belongs to.
Very well. We'll do what must be done. But every one of you must be prepared. Accept my word that the man I will name is the one. Know for an indisputable fact that you are dead and have no right to be in this place. Oh, should the body be mine, I will not linger. That much I can promise.
Well, Mr. Drayton, what did you find out?
Whose body lies in there? Under it, I found this. It is a pocket edition of Pilgrim's Progress. On the inside of the front cover is inscribed, "To Harold Smithers, from his good friend Arthur Brown."
It's you, Smithers. You're dead, man. Dead. And oh, most merciful God, I'm alive.
May I be forgiven.
He's gone. He's not here.
Well, that was to be expected. He knew at last and accepted. There was no way he could remain after that. He's free.
Maybe as time passes, we'll try to believe that none of this happened. Pretend we were all suffering from shock, illusions. And perhaps that'll be for the best.
Raymond, it's all over. Sounds as if they're digging away up there. That means you'll soon be home. Getting yourself wrapped round powdered egg and tin bacon, eh? How'd you feel about that?
Fine, I think. But are you sure it's all over? I still feel funny.
Bound to. We all feel funny. But we're not all crawling on all fours. You must forget all about this. Take Mr. Hugh's advice. Pretend none of it happened. 10 minutes or less should find them down here.
I bet they'll be surprised to find any of us alive. I suppose there's no point in us giving them a hand. What's the matter, Drayton? What are you looking so miserable about?
Well, I fear I have to tell you.
What's the matter, man?
When I was in the hole, you may remember there was a fall of rubble. It was soon after you left, and I continued on my own. Well, that fall uncovered another section of the wall. It also revealed 4 more bodies.
So, there are 4 more bodies. There's been a damn great air raid, and there must be quite a few bodies lying around.
Please, don't make me spill it out.
I'm not going to listen. You're stark raving mad. We've humored you over Smithers, but this is too much.
I don't understand. What in God's name are you talking about?
He's suggesting that we've been playing the wrong game. Not who's the ghost, but who's the live one. And the answer is himself, right, Drayton?
Never mind me. Just believe. Accept your condition and go. Go! Go before they break through. Don't get trapped down here. Be forced to haunt this place forever.
Okay,
I was saved by a fluke.
I'm through, Harry.
You all fell on top of me, and then the blast lifted you off again.
They were alive down here, I'm afraid. The bloody wall must have crashed down on the poor bastards.
That man. The one in my dream. He's out there. Look at him. Please don't let me go. Please.
The lights. Going out.
Hey, Harry. Get some light over here. I think there's someone alive.
I'm here. Can you hear me? I'm alive.
It's no good, Raymond.
The light's gone. It's black.
You got them lights, Harry? Yeah, that's it.
Yes, I'm right. There is someone. Here, mate. Give me your hand. That's it.
You're the only one left.
I think so. Merciful God. I think so.
That was Which One by R. Chetwynd Hayes, with Reginald Marsh as Drayton, Garrard Green as Hughes, Robert Glenister as Raymond, Adrian Egan as Smithers and the Man, Nigel Graham as Jackson, and David Graham as Conway. Technical presentation was by Prue Mendel. This was a BBC World Service drama production directed
by... You caught me putting away the groceries.
Ah. Far be it from us to interfere with your domestic chores, my good man.
I know. I know. I was walking through the leaves. I don't know.
Well,
or who knows? I don't know.
You were trapped somewhere.
Your mind goes in places mine does not, so I don't know.
He was trapped at the grocery store.
I was trapped at the grocery store. I've got a note from the grocer excusing me for the first 22 minutes of the program. Sorry, Gus.
Okay.
You know what? I need to see that note, sir.
I'll fax it to you.
Compare signatures to the last
Express.
Time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh boy!
I think the doctor's note pile is a little higher, so we'll take this one for a change.
It is. Okay. I'll give you a doctor's note too. I got them both. They're all ready.
Yep.
All ready to go.
I'd rather have one from the noise.
Yeah.
Honey, you got a sick headache.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
So you missed a good British show, Gar.
No, I didn't.
Oh, good.
I did my homework on this show. It was weird. Wait. Okay. We're only 22 minutes in, right?
Yep.
Well, a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Yeah. I figured with introductions and everything, you know, I had to drag my legs. So this one was about, it was all about World War II and getting trapped and dying. And it did tell you the difference between, or how you become a ghost and have to haunt a place. If you die and someone comes and finds you and you didn't get out of there spiritually, you're stuck. That's what they said.
Well, the handbook of the recently deceased, that's a problem, too.
Exactly. Never lose your handbook. That's important. That's a keeper. But we do have a moral for this.
Just in time.
just in time.
I deleted it. I didn't think you were coming. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Actual Gar, Moral of the Story. Actual Gar.
We get a double doer for this. The first one is, never bet against a dead guy.
All right.
The second one is...
No. If you're going to do two, you get two intros. Eerie House Radio proudly presents... Yet another Gar's Moral of the Story.
The whole concept of denial is lost on me. I wouldn't believe it even if it was real. There you go.
You know what denial is. The river in Egypt.
And it flows backwards. Mm-hmm. You actually have to unflush your toilet. For that one.
Ew.
As it runs back.
That does not sound like a pleasant ending to anything.
That does not.
It was all a bedroom. No, what I'm guessing is in order for all the plumbing to run correctly, you just have to turn them around. So, you know, if it's facing this way, you just need to turn it around. It'll work correctly, I think.
Good.
If you're near denial. Or if you're in denial. Well, if you're in denial, you don't need to throw it. Just let go.
I'm in denial all the time, so I don't know. How does that work?
You're going to get eaten by crocodiles if you're in denial.
I hope you've got your water wings there, Dave.
I hope so, too.
Eenie, meenie, chili beanie. These are about to speak.
Yes, they are. And they go, boo. Dave, I got to tell you, man, it wasn't until I saw the ad on Facebook for this week's program that I go, oh, that's what it is. I was sitting there doing my homework going, how are these related? And I was, oh, they're all trapped. Okay. I was like, what is, I was like, I almost picked up the phone and said, Dave, you stumped me. I was like, I don't know.
By the titles, you would not know that. By the titles?
No, not at all. No. Yeah. No, I was like, okay, Dave, you win. I don't know.
That's where I'm good for something. The ad kind of just sews it all in a nice little bow, you know, ties it up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was like, okay, Dave, I don't know. We're shooting in the dark. I got a mole for them all, but... I don't know the common ground on it.
Dave is like the master planner, weaving it all. More and more, Dave, not just your appearance, but more and more. You keep reminding me of Ray Bradbury.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Didn't
you
Ray
sound,
Bradbury have some... Oh, okay, I'm thinking of Asimov.
Ray Bradbury speak, and I'll tell you what, his voice is not too dissimilar from Dave's.
Not too far, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Now, I was thinking of Isaac Asimov. He had those crazy sideburns.
Crazy sideburns. Yeah.
Yeah, they were crazy.
I think that's what took him in the end. I think his crazy sideburns actually ate him. I think that's what happened to
him. Well, he tripped over him.
Yeah.
If it was a tripping
yeah,
duck.
Broke his neck. Yeah, it's possible.
He broke it. Yeah, there you go.
His favorite president was Martin Van Buren.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, only
there was another one.
Big bushy sideburns.
Taft. William Taft had crazy sideburns like that, too, I think. I could be wrong,
John Quincy Adams had sideburns, but his was well-trimmed, and he wore the sideburns because he couldn't grow any hair on the top of his head.
Well, Taft's mutton chops are so big they had their own zip code. How's that?
There you go.
There you go.
and they probably felt trapped wearing them. We got
two terrific tales.
Two more terrific tales.
Two more terrific tales, yeah.
Where will we go next? Gar, you pick. Lights out or suspense, what do you think? What are you ready for?
Okay, hang on.
He's flipping a coin.
So that one is... there's that one, and then there's this one is... That one just bugged me out. Let's do Lights Out, actually. made me claustrophobic. Let's do that one.
Sure. This one is called Murder in the Script Department.
Yes. From May 11th, 1943.
Arch Obler's Lights Out, Everybody.
I'm in the dark.
I can't see.
Later.
got my eyes closed.
You think. This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
Oh, what time is it? 10 minutes more. Gee, it's been a long day, hasn't it?
I'll say so. If I never see another script or typewriter, it'll be too soon.
You were the one who wanted to get into radio.
Radio. Sitting at a typewriter 8 hours a day, making stencils.
You were the one who said it'd be a shortcut. Some director would walk into the script department, see you behind that typewriter, and say, where you been all my life?
Mary, stop it, will you? You think you're so cute, I don't see anyone whining.
Gerald, Bernice, Mary. After all, this is a place of business.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't like to be the disciplinarian, but this is the third time that I've found you quarreling with each other rather than working.
We weren't quarreling.
Perhaps not, but it sounded like it. You're setting a very unfortunate example for the other girls. I'm going to ask both of you a simple question. Do you or do you not want to continue working here?
We do.
Yes, of course we do.
Very well. No more of this nonsense, then. There's a script that must be mimeographed first thing tomorrow morning, so the stencils will have to be out tonight. It shouldn't take you long. What's the matter with you girls? Have you any objections to working late tonight?
Oh, no. Oh, I'd love it.
Very well. All right, the rest of you girls, time to go home.
Yes, I'd love to stay overtime if I could type over her dead body.
Hush, hush, she'll hear you.
Here's the script, girls. 20 pages. Divide it up between yourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
When you're through, leave the stencils on my desk and lock the door behind you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, good night. Don't forget to turn out the lights as you go.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, girls, let's get out of here quickly so that Bernice and Mary can finish their work.
Of all the knock-kneed, blab-eared, long-necked pot-heeled...
Oh, stop it, will you? Let's type the darn thing off and get out of here. Well, what do you know?
What's the matter?
Look at the script we're supposed to type.
Lights out. One of those things.
Yeah.
So what?
I don't like to type them. They scare me.
Are you kidding? Typing's typing, no matter what you're typing.
Not if it's one of those lights-out plays. Blood and people dying and murderers and worms. Ooh,
forget it. Just words on paper.
It scares me.
Type with your eyes closed. You listen to this. Note to the sound department. At this point in the play, I want the sound of a body being turned inside out. I suggest the use of a wet rubber glove to plant the picture of a human being
being deliberately turned.
Oh, stop it, will you?
For Pete's sake. It's only a sound effect. I was just reading.
Oh, will you type your script and let me type this? Don't go reading any of it out loud.
All right, all right. I wonder what kind of a screwball he is.
Who?
The fellow who writes these plays, you know.
Arch Oberlin?
Yeah.
Oh, I like him.
What are you talking about? You never even met him.
Well, I like him anyway.
But you just finished saying you don't like this.
Well, I like his other plays. You know, the ones he does for the government. With sense to them.
Well, personally, I think he's a wolf.
Oh, what are you talking about?
You know, one of these werewolves. I bet he eats his young.
Well, don't talk like that. He's got a 10-month-old baby. I saw a picture of it. And it's real cute.
Well, I still think
for heaven's sake, just because the man writes fantastic doesn't mean he's fantastic.
Well, you look who's talking. Why, you're even afraid to type him. What are you afraid of, that the ghost will pop out of the pages and turn you inside out?
Oh, stop it, will you, if you don't stop it?
All right, let's type. How do you like that?
What's the matter now?
My typewriter's jammed. Can't move a key.
B?
What's the matter with you?
Mine is, too. My typewriter is, too.
Like the fellow said, c'est la guerre. Everything's falling apart. Suppose we'll have to use one of the other machines. Just when I was getting comfortable. I'll use Anita's.
Yeah, I'm going to use Evelyn's. She won't care what I do with it. She's going to be a wave anyway.
Mary, this one's jammed, too.
Yeah, so is Evelyn's.
I'll try Elle's machine. She's always boasting about how fast it is. Why, it's jammed, too.
Well, so is this one.
Well, what do you know? What is it, the typewriter gremlin? Mary, what's the matter? Your face.
Let's get out of here.
What's the matter?
Let's get out of here.
We've got overtime.
I tell you, let's go home.
Well, just because a typewriter jams up is no reason to have a fit.
Well, I'm getting out of here, and you better come with me.
Oh, you're crazy running out. What's come over you? What?
Bernice!
What's the matter with you now? What are you standing at the door with your back to me for? Stay or go?
Bernice, come here quick.
Oh, for Pete's sake. What's the matter with you? Why are you standing there for with your hand on the knob?
It's locked.
What?
Locked. Locked.
Oh, you are crazy. Let me add it. Let me try.
Why is it locked?
Because some screwball janitor thought everybody'd left and locked the door, that's all. Say, somebody out there, let us out of here. We're locked in. Hey!
It won't do any good.
That's what you say. I'll wake the dead. Hey, are you deaf or deaf or whatever it is? Somebody get a key and let us out. Hey, we're not slave labor. Let us out. What's the matter with me?
Where are you going?
All I've got to do is pick up the telephone and call communications. They'll get us out of here.
Oh, yes. Call them right away. Tell them we're
all
locked.
All right. I'm calling them. Hello. Hello. Answer me.
What's the matter?
Oh, I'm dead.
Oh.
Stop that. The operator thought we'd all gone home, so she disconnected the wire, that's all.
Oh,
oh, for Pete's sake, of all the nincompoops, what is there to cry about?
Oh, I'm afraid.
So you're afraid, so I'm Queen of the May, and there are roses in the air. What is this all about? What's all the hysteria?
You don't understand.
I'll say I don't. You stop crying.
No, something terrible is going to happen.
What are you talking about? We're in the script department of a broadcasting company, remember?
Oh, something jammed the typewriters. Something locked the door. Something.
What do you mean, something?
Something, I tell you.
I tell you, you're crazy. I think I've known you all these weeks and never knew you had bats in your belfry. There's absolutely nothing that's happened.
Why did you stop talking? Answer me.
Telephone cord. The end, it's torn off.
Yes.
But I talked on this telephone only an hour ago, remember?
Yes.
How could it have gotten torn loose?
I told you.
Oh, shut up. All right, maybe there is something screwy, I don't know. But I do know there's nothing to get hysterical about. If this place only had windows, I could call out. On modernistic air conditioning. Will you stop moaning?
Well, you're scared, too.
No, I'm not. Series of coincidences, that's all. What could it be? Answer me, what? Who ever heard of anything happening in a place like this? Well, what are you looking at me like that for? This is no haunted house. You and me and a lot of other girls work here, remember? So if we're locked in and have to stay here all night, so what? The door's locked from the outside. The watchman downstairs, remember? So who could get in here to hurt us?
What if the locked door won't do any good?
What?
You heard me.
Oh, you're crazy, kid. Look, desks and chairs, fluorescent light, modern design, remember? We're not in a haunted house. Get that through your head. We're not in a haunted house.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter now? Get all through explaining. What's the matter?
Something happened.
Happened?
Something in the air.
What are you... Oh, for heaven's
sake. Over there at the end of the room.
The light must have burned out.
Oh.
I was right. Just to show you how crazy you've been.
couple of natural things happen and you start acting out a ghost story. You should join the actors' union.
Bernice.
Well, one of the lights burned out, so what? There's one thing the script department's got, plenty of light. Mary, why are
another light. I saw it go out.
Are you dreaming?
I tell you, I saw it go out.
You're crazy, it did.
I saw it.
Now, look here. There are 2, 4, 6, 8 lights in this place. See? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, don't give me any more of that lights out.
Another. Another.
You're absolutely crazy. I'm scared just staying here with you.
Count them.
Why should I?
Count them.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Not 8. 7.
Gee.
I told you. Oh, no. What?
Another one out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh.
Stop it. Stop it.
Another one there.
Go.
Over next to Miss Winton's desk. Another one.
What?
Only 4 left. Only 4. What'll we do?
Only 4.
Who's putting them out?
I don't know. I don't.
Another.
Oh. Only 3 more.
If they go out, I'll die.
They won't go out. They can't go out. It's a switch. That's it. I'll hold the switch. I won't turn out the lights if I hold the switch. It's all right, Mary. See? I got hold of the switch. Nothing.
Another
could...
one. Another one.
But I was holding onto the switch. 2 lights. 2 lights and then dark.
Bernice. Oh, Bernice, hold me. I'm scared. Oh, gee, I'm scared.
It's all right. It's all right. There's still 2 lights. See? 2 lights. They'll stay on. They will. I know they will.
They're both out.
We're in the dark.
Bernice, where are you? Let me out of here. I'm afraid of the dark. Let me out of here.
Stop it, stop it. Is this bad enough without you driving me crazy? What's the good of your crying? There's a reason. There must be for this. Everything's got a reason. I know it. I know it.
I can't stand it. I can't.
I can't. Those blackout candles. Stop crying and let me think. Miss Winton had some blackout candles in her desk. I know she did.
Oh, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me in the dark, Bernice.
Will you stop it? I found them. Candles, matches. There. 3 candles like this one. And this one. See? Plenty of light now.
Who's there?
Nobody. Nobody. There's a reason for everything, I tell you. I know what it is.
What?
The electricians, that's it. The electricians didn't know we were up here, and they were testing the lights. They'll go on any minute. Wait and see.
You think so?
Of course. Look, what'd I tell you? There they go on again.
Look at the ceiling. Oh,
oh no.
Green. The light now is green.
Green.
All the lights. You lied to me. You said it was the electrician. Look at the light. It's green. It makes your face look green. You look dead. You hear me? Dead. You'll be dead and I'll be dead. We'll be dead.
Stop it. Stop it. You're not going to drive me crazy. Just because there's something wrong with the electricity. You look around. Everything's all right. Nothing's wrong here. Nothing.
Is that typing? I heard typing.
So did I. I
think
just must have imagined.
Typewriter. Look at the typewriter.
Typing.
And there's no one. Who's typing? Who's typing?
Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis is typing. That's who's typing.
He's Leroy Anderson, right.
Yep.
Now, I'm not, go ahead.
I wonder if it's the same cast that did Poltergeist, because these gals have the same, you know, at the beginning before they got terrified, they had the same snappy patter, same kind of feel to this particular story.
I think the one gal is, I think the other one is the younger sounding one, the one that's more scared. I think it sounds a bit like Mercedes McCambridge.
Ooh.
You got me on that.
Voice of the Exorcist.
Oh.
Yes,
okay,
yes. Yeah. Gar, Mercedes McCambridge was the gal in that the Temple of the Vampires, I Love a Mystery story.
Yep.
Oh, okay, okay. Ding dong, got it. There we go.
There you go.
All right. The light came on. Notch. Ding dong! Got it. Yeah, there we go.
Just tried to help, buddy.
I think, now I could be wrong. Maybe it's in the early days of television, but maybe. Oh, there goes that rooster. Yeah, I got a rooster hanging out here.
Oh, cool.
It might have been in radio, but it might have been in early television. There was something called the Ding Dong School in the 50s. Okay.
It was in early television. Matter of fact, there was a small bit that I just did, because she is originally from Ohio, although she did that in Illinois. There's a background piece on her. If you go to weyenews.weebly.com, it's weyenews.weebly.com, slide down to the videos. There's a video of that lady and the Ding Dong School.
You need to say that slower, Dave. I didn't catch that.
Okay. It's weyenews.weebly.com.
There are some who would swear that I am a graduate of Ding Dong School.
I just remember my dad. My dad, when he was a ute, listened to it. So it was a ute.
Yeah.
And the Ding Dong School.
Ute, yeah.
So lights out, Ding Dong. I got it. that was weird, though. All you had to do was mention that one other show. I was like, I know her. Okay, there we go. Crazy. So, yeah there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. So the lights went out. Now, I like this. They had candles. In these days and times, because of the newer generation of people, not a lot of folks probably have candles.
No, not nowadays.
Possibly. Yeah, they turn on their cell phone flashlight.
Yeah, until the charge goes down, and they go, "Oh, what do we do now? Rub sticks together." I don't know. I've got candles. I've got hurricane lamps with oil and the whole. I'm ready for the lights to go out.
Oil lamps are awesome.
Yeah, mine are not oil. There's some type of fuel that burns, but it's not oil. And they're colored, different colors. Yeah. You can get them different colors. Basically a hurricane lamp with the reservoir at the bottom and the big glass hood thing that goes on there.
Right, yeah, the globe, yeah.
The globe, yeah. Hood, globe, whatever that is. Yeah. And they are cool. I've always liked them. When I move up north, whenever I do, I'm taking my hurricane lamps with me because they just look cool.
And they're heated in a hurry.
Glass, brass, and that frosted bit of the top. It just looks old-timey, but they're very functional.
Yes, they are. I swear by them. For emergent, power outages, you could light up an entire floor of your house with a good... what do they call that? Not fuel oil. What's that little lamp? You put the oil in it, and it's got a wick.
That's what mine are.
It's an oil lamp, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an oil lamp. Yeah.
It's a type of oil. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's some burning fuel something. But so you the lights go out, you turn those on, you read ghost stories.
A solar charged battery, not a bad idea either.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You hopefully never run out of a power source.
Well, when we had our hurricanes a few years back here, there wasn't too much sun, so that didn't really help out. But in other times, you know, where it's just an outage, a down line or whatever.
Yeah.
They're awesome, and they look cool.
Awesome. Yeah, they do. Let's get back. Let's get back to lights out and complete and finish Murder in the Script Department.
I'm so tired. Me too. I wonder if it's Dave. I don't know. I don't think so. Sooner or later, someone will come along. It'll be too late. Don't say that. Things happened these last hours, has it? Nothing. It will. When I get out of here, I never want to talk to you as long as I live. As long as you live. Stop talking like that, or do I help?
Don't hurt me.
I'm not hurting you. No one's going to hurt you. Or me.
Trick. It's some kind of a trick.
The typewriters. Electric ones, aren't they?
Power. Something. It's got to be a trick. You don't believe it, do you?
Believe what?
There's something in this room with us.
Where?
I don't know. But it's here.
What are you trying to do? Make me scared as you are scared?
There's something in this room.
Where? Answer me, where? Just you and me, that's all. You're not going to scare me. I'm not going to let myself get scared anymore. I want to get out of here, and I'm going to get out of here. My head's done.
Yes. I heard it, too.
What?
Something. Desk. Look. The desk moving. Look. That one moved. And that one. Mary, take your hands away from your eyes and look. Look, the desk. All of them moving. Mary, look. All the desks was moving and was moving. Stay back, you. Stay back. Mary. Mary, all the desks in the room. They're moving down toward us. Mary, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Please. You're not dead. You can't see.
I'm all right.
Oh.
I thought. I'm all right.
But what happened?
You fainted. Did I? Yeah.
The desk. They're all around.
All around. You're the one who's scared now, aren't you?
Right. I am.
I'm not.
Not scared? You?
No. It's very nice.
Oh, what's very nice?
You know.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
You know.
I don't know. Tell me.
So warm.
What's warm?
The sun. So warm. Sitting in the sun.
What?
Nice when the sun is warm, isn't it? I always wanted to sit in the sun.
Oh, no.
You can sit in the sun if you want to, Bernice. It's all right.
Mary. Mary.
You don't have to shout. We'll go home soon. As soon as the sun goes down, we'll go home.
Oh, Mary.
I was scared before. Wonderful the way it is now, out here in the sun. There's no reason to be scared when you're sitting in the sun.
Oh, Mary, I'd rather you'd be afraid. Do you hear me? I'd rather you'd be afraid.
No. The sun.
There is no sun. We're right here where we were in the office. And the light is still green and the desks are moved all in around us. And we can't get out. Mary, be scared. Please stop looking at me the way you are and be scared.
You say we're not sitting in the sun?
No, no.
You must be crazy, Bernice. Because we are sitting in the sun. Are you crazy, Bernice?
All right, if that's what you want. We are sitting in the sun, dear.
I knew it. I used to be so scared. Now I'm all right.
You were right before when you said there was someone in the room. There is. I can't see anyone, but there is someone.
The sun is so nice.
First the typewriters, and then the lights, and then the moving desk, and now waiting.
Who's waiting?
It's waiting.
Will we go home soon?
Yes.
When?
Soon.
very soon.
I was very scared.
Yes. When you get scared enough, you can't get scared anymore.
Oh, the sun is very nice.
I think I'm getting that scared now myself.
You hear something?
What?
Something?
There's nothing, nothing.
No, there is something. I told you.
Listen to me. Who's here with us? Who? Answer me. What do you want of us? Please answer me. What do you want of us? I will close my eyes. I will sleep like Mary's asleep. When you sleep, you don't think. I'm not going to think anymore. If I think about it, get like Mary is. No, I won't think. Sit here till the morning with my eyes shut. And when it's morning, they'll get here. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. My eyes closed. Green light still shines through my lids. How could green light turn with... No, stop thinking. Gotta stop thinking. Green light through my lids. Go. No light. Open my eyes. Dark. The lights are gone. It's dark again. Mary. Mary, wake up. Mary, the lights. Please wake up.
I'm not asleep.
Oh. I thought.
Sun is very nice. Isn't it?
The sun. You still think... Mary, don't you know? Can't you see we're sitting in the dark?
Dark.
Stay close to me.
If day had only come. I know. He'll be here soon.
Who?
In the dark. He'll be here.
Who are you talking about? Who?
Any minute now. Do you hear him?
Here?
I think he's coming now. Yes. He is.
No, please, no.
You're right. It is dark. Very dark. His kind of dark.
Stop talking like that.
You can't stop him. No one can stop him. What's the use of being afraid?
If someone had only come.
I've been telling you. Someone is coming. Right now. And he's sitting on the desk looking at it. I'm glad he's here. He'll make my head stop hurting. He'll take me home.
The floor. It's lifting.
Yes. I feel it.
The room. It's turning. Stop it. Stop turning the room. Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
Total of 15 Axis planes shot down in the Mediterranean theater of war. So much for the war news. Now to news of local interest to you early morning listeners. If you've been wondering why those dishes in the kitchen started to dance last night, the answer is an earth trembler, earthquake to you, of 5 seconds duration. The material damage was very slight. But two deaths are indirectly attributed to the earthquake. Bernice Saxton and Mirabelle Pressler, employed by the broadcasting company, were found dead this morning in the script department where they'd been doing overtime work. Cause of the death is believed to have been heart failure induced by fright. The girls had been accidentally locked in the office, and when there was a failure of electric power followed by earthquake, it is believed the young women were frightened to death. This concludes our morning broadcast.
Is later than
you go. Replete with Boeings. A very scary story from Lights Out.
Yes, it was. Like I said, I felt claustrophobic a little bit. They were trapped. They couldn't get out. Maybe they were in a high rise. I don't know.
Who knows?
Pretty freaky.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Your sanity is the hardest thing to hang on to, mostly because it doesn't come with handles. Now, there was one aspect in there, that little story, where the lights turn green. Now, fluorescent tubing is a glass tube. It's a glass tube filled with gases. Now, if you vibrate those gases, it could be that instead of having electric charge put through them, that it would glow white, that maybe it would glow green. I'm not really sure about that, but it's a premise.
It could happen.
It could happen. The vibrations of an earthquake, you know, and the typewriter typing by itself. If it's an electric typewriter, if it got certain bumps of electricity, maybe it would type by itself, sort of.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how many electric typewriters there were back in the 40s. There probably were some.
Yeah, this was 1943. That's what I said.
Except that you know, it was a lot went into the military, not into a lot of other conveniences.
Right. Well, I don't know when the first electric typewriter was kicked out. It just sounded like an electric typewriter the way it. For 1943, it's a progressive office. Yeah. And then furniture moving around. Okay. The only thing that wasn't explained was they felt like there was a guy in the room. I don't know about that.
They were just creeped out. That's all.
When the lights are out and you can't see anything, and then things like green light glow comes on you, I can see how you can think there might be somebody around.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But they did have, at one point, didn't they have a candle? Did it go out or what? Didn't they find the candles? That was what we were talking about before. They had candles. Well, they have one candle and one match, and that was it?
That was it.
That was it, yeah.
Ill-prepared.
And someone sneezed.
Not very good earthquake planning, that's for sure, yeah.
No. And someone sneezed, and that was the end of the candle, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That sure is a pretty candle. Oh, wow, there you go. When the dark again? Who knows?
We got another story for you.
We do.
From the fine folks from Suspense.
Yes, we do. What is that one? Oh, that one.
Fire.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. Late 50s here, and Dick Beals, the Forever Kid, and, you know, the guy that was Davy and the Speedy for Alka-Seltzer, and Davy, I don't want to do that, Davy, from Davy and Goliath. I would do that if I were you, Davy.
Davy, you're going to hell, Davy. Don't be doing that.
You're going straight to the...
If only, Davy, straight to hell, Davy. Don't be... You better stop.
You will burn in the eternal flames, Davy.
That's right. I see your horn showing, Davy. You're an evil child, Davy.
Eternal damnation is yours, Davy.
And I'm not sure where he is in here, but Dawes Butler is supposed to be in this one as well.
Ooh.
How about this? You're wearing Satan's galoshes there, Davy.
Wow. I didn't even know Satan needed galoshes. That's cool.
Yeah. Well,
that's an original.
We best get going with part one of Firing Run from Suspense, originally broadcast on
November 3rd, 1957, Davey.
Good Lord.
Sus. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrill and adventure.
Listen to the show, Davey.
The story you are about to hear may require accessory equipment in addition to your radio set, especially if you are a parent. We suggest that you provide yourself with a glass of water to slake the dryness in your mouth and melt the lump in your throat, and also a handkerchief or some other suitably absorbent material to cope with your tears. It is a story of unpremeditated murder, the unwitting and unplanned killing of a little boy by his father. It is a story in which fate overtakes love and tragedy lurks in the Blue Empyrean. It is a story you will not soon forget. Listen, listen then, as Miss Ruth Hussey stars in Firing Run, which begins in exactly 1 minute.
How can heroism be symbolized? One example is in the shape of a bronze cross with an eagle on the center and a scroll below the eagle bearing the inscription, For Valor. The ribbon is a broad band of blue bordered on both sides by narrow white stripes and edged with red. This is the United States Army's Distinguished Service Cross, awarded to those soldiers who distinguish themselves by extraordinary heroism in connection with military operations against an armed enemy. It is worn on the left side, above the breast pocket, and is one of the outstanding accolades our country can bestow. Of the millions of men who have served in the armed forces of our country, only a comparative few have so conducted themselves as to earn this valued award. The Distinguished Service Cross of the United States Army stands as a model for dedicated service and heroism of a high order. It is one symbol of heroism which only the brave and determined may attain.
And now, Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Some of them looked like killers, the aces of World War II and Korea. Others, like Mark, are gentle and won't talk of combat. Mark would never speak of war, but I know that what happened to him in the blue New Mexico sky that morning left a scar deeper than any he'd had in action. Mark had been an ace in Korea, and he's won more aerial gunnery meets than any other regular captain in the Air Force. He's so good that for years he's been the number one test pilot on guns and rockets at Desert Proving Grounds. A pleasant life for all four of us, once I'd learned to get used to sand in the rugs and scorpions in the backyard. A settled life, almost like a civilian, until that horrible morning. Mark had a rocket test flight, so the day started early with the four of us at breakfast.
Hap, would you pass the cream, please?
Oh, sure, Dan.
Hap, hold the handle toward your father. I've told you.
I forgot. Dad, can I watch the drone take off? Me too.
What, Big Shot?
Watch the Flying Fortress take off.
I don't want you kids cluttering up that flight line today. This is the last firing run of the series.
And there's also the small matter of school.
Sergeant Crenshaw said I should help him start the engines again.
You sure he did?
Yeah, Dad, honest.
All right.
Daddy, are you going to fly the big plane?
Nobody flies the big plane. It flies itself, stupid.
Hap, I warned you about talking to your brother like that.
Yes, Mother. Look, Petey. Lieutenant Cameron, you know him. He flies the big plane. Only he flies it from the ground by radio. Then Dad shoots it down with rockets from his jet, see? Like this. Boom!
Finish your breakfast.
I could fly the big plane.
I'll bet.
I can too, Fly. I flew my scooter yesterday right over the PX.
You're a liar.
Hap, I'll not warn you again.
Well, he is a liar.
He's just going through a stage. Oh, now what? Oh, hi, Kathy.
Hello,
play?
Sure. Go play with your new conquest, the colonel's daughter. What a politician.
Oh, I am not.
Your school bus is due in 20 minutes, so don't get lost.
I'm from too early.
You clear out, too, then. And don't bang the door. Oh, honestly.
Never a dull moment.
Is this the big day, darling?
It sure is. Every brass hat in the Pentagon's waiting for the results.
Goodness, don't miss.
You sound like Don Cameron. He offered to make the drone fly straight and level, so I couldn't miss.
Why don't you let him?
Oh, this is a test, Sue. Enemy planes don't fly straight and level. They twist and turn and evade. We don't prove the rocket if I shoot down a sitting duck just to look good.
That's my boy.
Well, I got a charge.
Will you be home for lunch?
Yes.
Hap, Petey, your father's leaving. Where are they?
Oh, skip it. Probably heading for the flight line to drive the sergeant nuts. Don't worry.
Don't worry, he said. And I didn't. As I headed back for the dishes, my mind was on the day's marketing, not on Hap or Petey. If I'd only known where they were.
Hap, my father told me to stay off the field.
It's okay, Kathy. Sergeant Crenshaw is my buddy. That's his drone on the runway. Heck, he already started the engines. He said I could help. Well, come on. Let's go see him in the cockpit anyway.
Oh, golly, Hap, my daddy'd shoot me.
Come on. You ever been in a flying fortress?
No,
well,
but...
come on, then.
Oh, I want to come, too.
You go home. You're a fibber. We don't want fibbers around.
I am not.
All right, Petey. I didn't mean it, but listen, you go home anyway. You might get hurt here. Come on, Kathy.
Do you think we ought to?
Come on, hang on to my hand.
Oh, it's so windy, it's blowing my dress.
It's just a prop, lass. Stay down low like this, okay?
I don't like it. Half of the bag.
Nah, come on. We'll run through the bomb bay. Here. Help me up.
It's spooky here.
Oh, follow me along the catwalk. Don't slip. Oh, boy. Here's the flight deck. Here's where the navigator sits. And up there's where...
Hap? What's wrong?
He's not here. The sergeant's not here.
Hap, I want to go.
Yeah, come on.
Approaching the bomb bay, sir. He's ready to roll.
No! No! No, sergeant! He's not!
Hap, we're moving!
The plane's taking off!
The second act of Suspense continues in 1 minute.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
You're missing a lot, Steve.
Joe?
Joseph? What?
Who is she?
Who's who?
Who were you dreaming about?
Was I dreaming?
You were talking in your sleep and giggling.
How about that?
What were you giggling about?
I can't remember.
Joseph, you mentioned a girl's name.
Oh? What name?
Spass.
Spass?
Yes, Spass. Candy Spass. It sounded like a dancer or a striptease or something.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Well, I must have said Candy Spass. Candy Spass is a horse. I bet on him once.
You bet on a horse?
Yeah, we had a pool. I could have won $3.
Well, you should have put the money into savings bonds. They're a much better investment.
It was only 50 cents.
For 63 cents a day, you can buy a $25 bond a month. And 1 year's worth of bonds will bring $300 when they mature. What's more, they're guaranteed to be winners. The whole United States stands behind them.
Uh-huh.
So don't waste money betting on horses. Put it in savings bonds.
Okay. Can I still dream about horses, though?
If you do it quietly. Say, why were you giggling about a horse?
And now, we continue with Act Two of Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Thank you.
just finished breakfast.
Mom.
Oh, all right. Take one for Kathy and one for your brother and tell them it's time for the school bus.
They flew an airplane.
Hmm?
They flew an airplane.
I can't understand a word you say with your mouth full.
I said, Hap and Cassie flew an airplane.
Oh, Petey, don't fib like that.
They did.
Now, Petey, listen to me. Mommy knows you aren't really a fibber, but other people don't. So just try to say only what happens, what really and truly happened. All right?
All right.
Now, go and tell Hap it's time for the bus.
He flew away in the airplane with Cassie.
Petey, stop that fibbing.
He did, Mommy, really and truly. He got into his tummy and then it flew away.
What kind of an airplane?
The big one.
The drone? Oh, no. Oh, they couldn't have. Petey, say, help me. If you're lying, I... Come on.
Well, that was a quick ending to a brief part two.
Yes, it was. Your spawns, strippers, dead kids. Good night, everybody.
All right, Gar, you sound like this.
Get out of the fishbowl. Get out of the fishbowl. Yep,
you might
want
to disconnect
something
and reconnect it because it ain't coming in.
It'll be better. It's like a radio. It's getting better.
That's a little better.
I said U.S. bonds, strippers, dead kids. Okay, that's it. Good night, everybody. That was it.
Yeah. Oh, you're not supposed
that's
to give
our
them,
offering
you're
for
not
the
supposed
day.
To give the moral, you're not supposed to give the moral till after the story's over, Gar.
Yeah.
Oh, silly me. I need to go back to where you couldn't hear me anymore. Yeah.
the good old days.
Ah, yes. Hi, like it was just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
I was looking for Satan's galoshes, Davey.
Where's galoshes? I think he did wear galoshes on South Park. I'm not sure.
I recall Paul Lind in his rendition of the devil wearing some type of a boot type wearing stuff on his feet.
Yep.
So could be galoshes. I don't know,
but this is a very somber story.
Oh, it is. Just the part that we got to so far, we got this far, and I was like, I'm going to have to call Dave and go, Dave, what are we listening to? This is horrible.
Yep, Daddy's going to shoot you down, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Daddy's going to shoot you down.
Getting in that plane without permission. Take a little ack-ack.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the kind of parenting I stand for.
Ack-ack-ack-ack-ack. Oh, hey, did you hear that there's going to be Mars Attacks 2 in the works?
No way. No way.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to top. That's going to be hard to top.
Who's that guy's name?
Tim Burton.
Who did that?
Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. Yeah, news on the wire. There's a Mars Attacks 2. Ack, ack, ack.
It'll be interesting to see who he cast. The first one had a cast of billions.
The crazy thing is going to be the contemporaries of when he cast them then. Are those stars? So maybe they'll get a whole new generation of stars now.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
And I wonder how our story's going to end. Let's find out. So we'll complete firing run from Suspense.
Air Force 647 from ground control. Air Force 647 from ground control. How do you read me, 647?
Ground control from Air Force 647. I read you badly. 3x3, very garbled.
Our transmitter's okay, Lieutenant. Must be his receiver.
Yeah, okay, Sergeant. Mark, you're coming in loud and clear. The trouble's at your end.
Say again, Don. You're fading.
Air Force 647 from ground control. We read you four square. I say again,
I'm not going to worry about it now. When the drone reaches 12,000, I'll make my first fireman. Air Force 647, over and out.
What's that Dane doing here? Joe, tell her to get that cotton-picking car off the flight line.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Captain Stacy's wife. See what she wants, Sergeant. Air Force 647, this is ground control. I say again, Mark.
I'm afraid you can't stay out here, Mrs. Stacy. We're running a firing test.
Well, I know. I know, Sergeant. I'm not sure, of course, but I think... Well, it's possible that my boy is in the drone.
What? Hap?
I think so. And Colonel Master's daughter.
Oh, now, Mrs. Stacy, that couldn't be. It just couldn't.
I think they are.
No, ma'am. I buttoned up that drone myself. I started the engines and landed her up on the runway, and there's nobody in there.
Are you sure?
Absolutely certain. Now, you just drive on home, and I'll bet you'll find that young fellow robbing your icebox. Oh, hi there, Peeny.
Oh, Sergeant.
I didn't see you in the back seat. Know where your brother is, Petey?
He says he saw them get in the plane.
Oh, so that's it. Well, my little boy did the same thing when he was your age. But, Petey, we don't like storytellers in the Air Force.
They did too get in. He got in the bag and you got out the front.
Oh?
And then you drove off.
Drove up in what?
That Jeep.
What Jeep? Which one?
The Jeep with the red flag on it.
He's right, Mrs. Stacy. He isn't telling a story.
Act 3 of Suspense follows in 1 minute.
We have together ample capacity in freedom to defend freedom. This is NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO's many achievements are plates of the shield which it is forging to protect peace and freedom. But the shield is still thin and needs constant strengthening. True, NATO forces in Europe cause any potential aggressor to exercise caution, but these forces are insufficient to remove all threat of attack. As NATO forces grow, so do hopes of world peace. The United States of America is a part of NATO. You should be aware of and alert to the objectives and programs of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
And now, we continue with Act 3 of Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
On the ground, it was horrible, with Don Cameron trying hopelessly to contact Mark and Mark's unheeding voice crackling from the radio.
Jet 647 from ground control. Mark, break off. Do not make your run. Mark, break off. Abort your run.
I could see the vapor trails now high over the desert, the white track of the ancient bomber crawling across the sky. Mark tracing a contrail swiftly and precisely above and behind it, overtaking it. It was horrible on the ground, but when I thought of the terrified children in the cockpit, then it was unbearable.
I want my father.
It's going to be all right, Kathy. Petey will kill him. The school bus must have gone by. Mom will ask Petey and he'll kill her.
Maybe they won't believe him.
Yes, they will too. Kathy, look, there he is.
What?
Who? My dad. Look, see, way high. See the contrail?
Oh, Hap, I want my father.
He's turning. Maybe he knows. He isn't coming toward us. He's turning up there. Like he's waiting.
Sue, it's no use. I can't contact him at all.
What are we going to do, Don?
I don't know. Pray that he misses.
That guy doesn't miss. Lieutenant, can't you dive her for the deck and land?
Dive that old wreck and pull the wings off it.
Wait.
Wait, there he is again.
Ground control to 647. I'm in position commencing my first run. Angels 15.
Suddenly, it was not Mark at all.
Switch on.
That cold, relentless voice chanting a song of death. It couldn't be Mark. It was the voice of a stranger, a killer, stalking my little boy. Stop him! Stop him! Stop him!
Sue, snap out of it. Hang on to yourself.
Begin evasive action, Don. Make it good.
Make it good, he says.
Now, look, Sue, I'll do my best. Just before he reaches his point of release, I'll try a high wing over. It'll shake up the kids, but if the wings stay on.
There he goes, Lieutenant. There he goes.
Wait. Wait. You've got to wait till the last second.
Cappy, he's turning toward us. He's coming at us. Oh, Daddy.
I can't hardly believe it. He missed. You foxed him, Lieutenant, this time.
Very nice, Don. Very nice. I'll try the second combo. I'll line up better this time.
Oh, darling, please.
He won't miss twice, Lieutenant. You know that.
I'm in position. Starting my second firing run. Commence your evasive action.
If we can just do it again. Just once more.
Lieutenant, you better start your wing over. He's ready to fire.
The contrail from the jet reached swiftly, almost scornfully, for the lumbering bomber. Something in its purposeful track told us all that within seconds the drone would be a screaming, flaming pyre for the two children. And there was nothing, nothing that any of us could do to save them. I thought of Mark, cool and deadly at the work he did so well, only seconds from shattering his whole life. I felt Don tense at his control box, ready for a last, hopeless swerve of the clumsy ship. And then it came to me. The only way, the only chance. It might cost my son his life, but I knew I must try it, for I knew Mark. If I could find the courage... Don, don't!
What do you mean? Let go!
No, no, don't try to evade him. Make it a sitting duck.
What do you mean?
He's nuts, Lieutenant. He'll plaster it.
No, no, he won't let you make him look good. Give him an easy target, Don. He'll let it go.
I suppose he doesn't.
I know him. Do it.
All right.
Oh, no. Straight and level with that guy? He'll splatter it all over the sky.
I'm approaching the release point. Are you evading? Firing.
Oh, no.
What are you doing? Trying to make me look good? I'm holding fire. It's too easy. Can't you maneuver? Something wrong? Left turn.
Left turn. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, here we go.
Roger, you're turning. Sliding in for a look.
See him? He's right on their wing.
Hey, there's somebody in the cockpit.
Can you do it, Don? Can you?
I've done it before, but never like this. Okay, Sergeant, watch my gauges. Easing off our power.
Manifold pressure 18 inches, sir.
Dropping her gear.
Gear down, sir.
I can do without that. Flaps down, Sergeant.
Flaps down, sir.
It was minutes, but it seemed hours before the big plane lumbered into the pattern, wheels reaching awkwardly for the runway. I closed my eyes and prayed. And then...
Hey,
plane stopped, two very shaky children were helped out. All Petey said was, see, he did too fly the airplane, and to this day he thinks his brother can fly. Mark's knees buckled when he climbed from his jet. He knelt on the flight line and held Hap and Kathy closely, very closely, for a long moment. And when he looked into my eyes, I saw gratitude and faith. He still tests guns and rockets. But sometimes in the evening after a flight, I catch a distant look in his eye, know that he's closing on that ancient flying fortress over New Mexico. And then I go to him and touch his lips and talk of other things.
Suspense. In which Miss Ruth Hussey starred in William N. Robeson's production of Firing Run, written by Michael Frost. Supporting Miss Hussey in Firing Run were Don Bender, Eddie Firestone, Dick Beals, Sam Pierce, and Ken Christie. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Michael Frost, a real cool guy. Ruth Buzzy, laughing.
Yeah, I don't think it was Ruth Buzzy, yeah.
I could have sworn that's what they said. What do I know?
What do you know?
Not a whole lot, brother. Not a whole lot.
Do you know Satan's a Russian?
Not personally, but I'm sure I'll be acquainted sometime soon.
Has been brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The March of Suspense.
Yabba dabba do. Okay. Her name? Hussey. H-U-S-S-E-Y. Ruth Hussey.
There you not go. Buzzy.
There you go.
Hussey.
No.
Well, that's not a nice thing to call her. A hussey?
You
what do you
hussy.
Know?
She has my galoshes. That's
well. She might be a hussy in that case. All right. That wraps
as long
up
as they're your galoshes.
Yeah, and we got time left, too.
We do, but we need to do something before we got time left.
I guess we're out of time.
That
sorry,
happens.
Gang. Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
All right, fine. House Radio reluctantly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Boy, boy, the problem with robot planes is the long robot coffee breaks.
That's all for no reason.
Yeah.
We didn't even say pharma.
Pharma, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. I, just feel a need for a polka was, periodically.
Yeah. Someone stole the kishka. Ah, well,
why
there we go.
Steal the kishka.
I don't know. Maybe if you're hungry, really? I don't know.
I wonder what a kishka really is. Is it like a knish?
It's a Polish
sausage,
I thought.
It's a sausage, yeah, a Polish sausage.
How come I was adopted by a Polish family, and we never had kishka.
Because you were a poor Polish family. No, Polish sausage.
We had.
You were, because you were adopted into it, you never really got to,
Maybe that was their secret Polish secrets. I don't know. But we had gwomki, which is what they called the stuffed cabbage. They had, of course, the pierogies.
There's a it's like a cream filled donut, but it's called something else. I forget what that's called.
Oh, it's the pushki.
Punchki.
Punchki. It drives my wife nuts because I call them pizzakis, because that's how they're spelled. Pizzakis, but they're pushki.
They are not pronounced anything like they're spelled. Like they're spelled.
And is your is your wife of Polish descent, and she gets angry, or she just likes to get angry?
My wife's mother was from the Polish side of town, and my wife's father actually was the only one in his family that was not born in Italy. So we merged two nationalities there with the Polish and the Italians for that particular. So she got the best of both worlds.
So you say. Mm. No, that's good.
That is all Italian.
Yeah.
Both
both
cultures have some really good cooking. I believe that you can unify the world with food.
And
diabetes.
Yep, and diabetes.
Diabetes.
So about time. How about we spin the wheel and sneak in a quick little something or other?
Yeah, you can buy
spin
your
it,
turn
Dave.
To go up there and spin that wheel, Dale. No, I spent it last time.
Okay,
Dale's turn. Dale,
all right, I'll
spin
Dale, get up
there.
Probably
Dale,
pull
Dale.
My sack or probably sprain my sacroiliac here.
Around she goes, and where she's got, nobody knows.
See, what'll we talk about?
Well, how about drugstores? That's where I was this morning.
Drugstores? Why not? Be fine.
Well, I went there to get a prescription filled. And when I handed it to the man behind the counter, I noticed a very funny thing, George. There was a diploma on the wall. Do you know that man studied to be a pharmacist?
Well, what's so funny about that?
Well, it shows you how strange life can be. He studied to be a pharmacist, and there he is running
a
drugstore, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of men get sidetracked. For instance, I knew a fellow who studied to be a mortician, and now he's an undertaker.
Yes, seems such a shame.
Yeah, but that's Hollywood for you.
But after seeing all those things in a drugstore, I realized what wonderful work scientists do. Now, take powder, for instance.
Powder.
Yes, thanks to the scientists, you can use it on your teeth so they'll shine, and you can use it on your nose so it won't.
Yeah, well, it's not all work with them. On their day off, they usually go out and split a few atoms. What else did you find out in the drugstore?
Well, I saw a big display of kiss-proof lipsticks.
Kiss-proof lipsticks?
Yes, and George, you know, I'm a little worried about the modern girls.
Why should that worry?
Well, it was different when I was a girl. When we kissed a boy, he didn't need lipstick on his face for proof. He knew he'd been kissed.
Chrissy, didn't you tell me that I was the first fella you ever kissed?
Then I went to the fountain to have him malted.
I knew you'd go there.
Oh, and the way some women dress now. I said to this nice little old man sitting in the stool next to me, look at that customer over there at the magazine counter. In those slacks, you can't tell whether he's a girl or she's a boy.
What did the old man say?
He said, she's a girl and she's my daughter, and I apologized. I said, I didn't realize you were her father. He says, I'm not. I'm her mother.
Gracie, I'm kind of broad-minded. Was I the second fella you ever kissed? The third?
Then I talked to Mrs. Quigley, who was there to get some pills for her husband's nerves. She said he was a very nervous man, and it worried him because he didn't know why.
Fourth? Fifth?
So I told Mrs. Quigley. I said, well, if you want to keep him from worrying, why don't you forget about the pills and buy some firecrackers instead?
Six.
I said, Mrs. Quigley, why don't you set them off under his chair when he isn't looking? He may still be nervous, but at least he'll know why.
Gracie, how many fellas did you kiss before me?
Good night, everybody.
See, a lady never kisses and tells.
Yep, there you go.
Exactly.
And a great lady of comedy she was. Dear, dear.
She was.
Did she write her own material? Do we know?
No.
Was that a collaboration?
George did have writers. That was kind of a thing. I think in the first year of television, they took some of the material that they had put together, which was mostly them. From their vaudeville days, and that was kind of part of their vaudeville act there, I think.
Right.
And they may have had some writers working with that as well, but yeah, it just what an amazing person. She could sing, she could dance, she was just a comic genius, and that's something the ladies did. Not a whole lot of ladies really got to do that, you know. Lucille Ball, Joan Davis, I can't think of a handful of them, you know.
Yeah.
But those few come to mind back in that era, you know.
But they were extraordinary, the ones that did. Like Lucy,
And Lucy never really hit until she got to television. Yeah. Until she got to television.
Yep.
So, you know, that's when she really shined.
So more trappings tomorrow night with a little tale from CBS Radio Mystery Theater and No Dave.
Yeah.
But
I wish it were, because that is a great story by Ambrose Bierce and a great adaption. And I really love that story.
So you left me a good one. Hopefully I'll be joined by, I don't know, someone. Gar, you got any horrible horror going on?
I hope to be back in makeup and live tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
That'll be right after the show here. Yep.
Yes, I hope.
Yes.
And then hopefully CW said she'll be sitting in for you, and hopefully she'll be able to make it here to sit in with you, Dale.
Make the best of it. You're stuck with me, group, if not. But if so, she will be dearly appreciated, trust me. Tough to do a show all by your onesome.
Where's Dave going to be?
Dave's working with one of his cast members who's doing a stand-up. He's a headliner for a stand-up comedy routine, and I'm filming it for him.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll be on location.
On location. I have been on location with Dave.
Yes.
It
is fun. Well, join us tomorrow, 6:30 Eastern, for some CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and then right after that, get on over to them their Twitches for them their Gars the Ghoul in Horrible Horror, starring.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
I'm coming alone.
That ending was my fault. My fault.
You kept jabbering. You kept jabbering this time.
I did. Somebody shut me the hell up.
Would never do that.
Dave.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the actress Virginia Gray? And did she do radio?
And how familiar?
Virginia Gray sounds familiar, but I don't. But I don't actually recall.
She was in Unknown Island. She was in Airport. She was in Another Thin Man.
They wrote a book about her. Who's Afraid of Virginia? What? Wait. What?
No.
That was Virginia Woolf.
Target Earth, which is a really bad horror movie. A giant robot from Venus invade Chicago.
And so she's nice. She's on radio.
Yeah. But I was trying to. She was on Iron. She was in a lot of. She was visually out there, but I didn't know if she was.
Was it Grey or Gray?
Let me look. Virginia Gray. Gray.
E-Y.
She was born in 1917, so 2737. She could have been in radio in 37 or a little bit earlier.
She looks like she may have done something. She did one Lux Radio Theater. Easy to Wed in 1950. Easy to Wed. That was her one and only time. At least it's still categorized and available, would be on that Lux Radio Theater.
Aha.
Last night I watched Target Earth, 1954.
I feel for you.
She could have played a comedian. She had comedy chops in her. It was good. She did a good job. It was a horrible film, but she did a pretty good job in and her acting portrayal in it, I thought. And she wasn't even one of the primary characters. They killed her off three quarters of the way in, I think.
No.
That's what she gets for upstaging the other cheesy actors.
I guess, yeah. It was. I was amazed that Richard Denning was a front man for a lot of these B movies. I don't know why, but he just ended up being there.
Richard Denning was all over the place. He did a lot of radio with Mr. and Mrs. North, and he did a lot of those movies. And then he turned around and pretty much finished his career on Hawaii 5-0 as the governor of Hawaii.
Oh, crazy! That is crazy.
The governor.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And Richard Reeves was in there, and I've seen him do, I think he did some serial work where he was in Cliffhanger Serials or something.
Captain Crunch?
A heavy. Richard Reeves, he was in Captain Crunch. Cliffhanger's Breakfast Cereal. Yeah, that one.
Cereal, yes.
He stayed crunchy.
He was a crunchy thug. He was a thug-type character. He was in Superman. He was in Mr. Terrific. Oh, okay. Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Tom Terrific?
I don't know if he did radio, but he could have.
Mr. Terrific. Yeah, that was Alan Young did the pilot, and he didn't want to do it, so they redid another pilot with a different cast.
I think I was in that pilot, I would say.
Yeah, because he was in the Mr. Terrific pilot, that was done right after Mr. Ed ended. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. It was kind of one of those goofy superhero things, but it had superhero pills or something.
Yeah. And it made him terrific.
Terrific.
What's this pill do? It makes me terrific. Sure, okay.
That was average, but now I'm terrific.
Now I'm terrific. Richard Reeves was born in 1912. So he could have been in radio. He was old enough for radio. But he was a thug-type character. And in that Target Earth thing, he wasn't a thug. He was a married guy in a very awkward married relationship for 10 years. It was cheaper than a divorce. The lady took a slug. And that was the end of that.
Sometimes it is cheaper to keep her.
Yeah. Wow. And this, she sat there and said, I don't think you got the guts to shoot anybody. Then she got shot. It's like, I guess he did.
I guess he did have the guts.
I don't think you got the guts. I just took a pill. I feel terrific. I'll shoot you. interesting foray into being trapped there, Dave. Great, a great selection.
And a wide variety of the way people got trapped, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
What do you think? I thought that, after that, that first story, the one from the BBC.
Haunted?
I thought that was a pretty...
Haunted?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool story. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought that was gosh darn weird, but, you know, because he had this one guy who's sitting there telling people, you know, I know what the deal is with spirits and all this stuff. And they're like, man, you need to go sit in a corner or something. I don't know. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Haunted. Well, I was... It was so inspiring, Dave. I went and downloaded the entire, I think there were 24 episodes of Haunted for me to peruse later. I was interested. You opened my radar to something I'd never run across.
See what you do to people, Dave.
I do. I make people think. I'm sorry.
I know, and I That's sort of resent it, because every time you make me do it, my head hurts.
Well, mine hurts all the time, so therefore, and so does Gar's, so therefore, you're just with the rest of us, that's all.
Yeah. Well, Dale, you just need to take a pill so you feel terrific. So one thing about the supernatural.
Will I also sound like Carol Channing? I feel
you. You might sound like Carol Channing. You don't feel terrific.
Exactly.
Exactly. One thing about the supernatural, this hits home with a lot of this stuff, is like all this stuff about Ghostbusters and people checking out the supernatural is, If they run across it, if it like smacks them right in the face and goes, there you go, there's your proof. The first thing they do is they deny what just happened. Even if it was caught on tape, they'll deny what just occurred. You know?
No, like politics.
You know? If they're sitting in a quiet room. If they're sitting in a quiet, controlled environment room and they go, if there's someone here, please give me a sign. And no, I mean, give me a sign.
Like, stop.
Now, give me a sign. I don't know. You know, and it's like, the ceiling just fell on my head. Well, we gave you three signs. What's wrong with you? You know.
What more can we do, Captain Obvious?
I know. There's something out there about the pandemic, and it was something that's like, well, you know, you didn't have to get sick and die. You know, you could have done this and could have. We gave you X number of tries. You could have done all this stuff, and it's like, you know, I wish I remember that joke. That I saw that not that long ago, but it was something about someone was saying that. You know, why didn't you give me a sign? And they actually, there were several signs there.
I was busy shoveling.
Yeah, I was busy. I was shining my galoshes. I was shining my galoshes.
Carol Channing.
This was something that I didn't use, but I wrote it out. In the whole Haunted Which One the show, I came up with this. In game playing, for some reason, there's a negative connotation in being it, I-T, it. And I wrote, I love being it. It separates you from everybody else. There can only be one it. You can give it away, but then you're no longer it. I say become it, stay it, as long as you can. And if you work it right, you could possibly even die being it.
Too deep for me.
Too much for you?
Deep for me, too.
Yes. That's way
deep
too deep.
For me.
I like...
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's a funny Sesame Street...
I thought being it was like the object of not being in a game. You know, tag, you're it.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, tag,
oh.
You're it. That's
gotcha.
What I was talking about. It, in game playing, their negative connotation is being it. Everybody wants to, I'm it, oh no, I need to tag someone so they're it and I'm not it. And I say, enjoy being it. It separates you from everybody else. There can only be one. You can give
sometimes
it away, but if you do.
Distances. Yep.
Yeah.
I always said no tag backs. That's what I always said.
No tag backs.
No tag backs.
It's really tough when there's.
Yes, that's a rule.
Except that when there's only two people, it makes it tough.
When there's only two people, there's no tag backs. Then
it's a short game. It's a really short game that way.
It is.
Short.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
No tag backs. All right. Now what do we do?
Kind of evident that you really didn't want to play if there's no tag backs.
No tag backs, I win. Yay!
No tag backs. Have you guys ever been in a circumstance where you feel like you're trapped and you might not get out?
I can't think of any.
I truly can't think of any either. Yeah.
Not outside of the Johnson triplets. Oh, but that's another
story. Hello.
Yeah, but you didn't want to get out from there.
No.
You didn't want to get out from
there.
Now,
if it's a Johnson triplet, it's... Oh, there you go.
One for each of them.
There you go. I can't think of ever being locked in a room or anything like that. I've never been locked in a car or out of a car.
I can't leave the house without... Knowing where my keys are, I have never locked myself out of a car, ever.
A freaky thing would happen if you're a kid. You could get locked into a shopping center or department store if you stray away from your mother or parents.
That'd be too much
freaking
fun.
It might be fun, but there's also, like, panic. It depends on... Where
depends
you
on
go
your
with
parents.
It.
You know, that might be more suitable, though.
They might have left you there. It might not have been an accident.
I mean, may not have wandered off by accident either.
They might have wandered away from you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's all good.
How
it turns out in the end that counts.
That's right. Well, I'm going to have to bugger out of here. I came in late, and I'm leaving early.
Yeah, I heard
the
taxi speeding away there.
It is.
Yeah, so with that in mind, we should probably bring in the one, the only, Mr. James Durante.
Durant.
Night. It's time to say goodnight. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Our ego, what we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Wow.